You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Saturday, the 26th of January. And we've got jumping to look forward to from Cheltenham, Doncaster, Uttoxeter, and also Ferry House over in Ireland. We've got all-weather action from Lingfield and Chelmsford as well. So listen to Racing Radio. It's going to be getting underway at 20 past 12 on Saturday. But what promises to be a great day of action. Of course, we've got Best of All Trials Day at Cheltenham. We'll talk about that very shortly. And it's a good card at Doncaster as well. Here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and Craig Forsyth is with me. Hello, Craig.
Hello, John. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good to have you with us. And looking forward to the weekend. And I always think this is one of the more underrated days of action we've got. There are obviously no Grade 1s, but there's a lot of quality racing.
There is indeed. You know, this is the final Cheltenham meeting before those big 4 days in March, and people looking for track clues, John, if you like, some really good racing. You know, you just need to look back at last year's card. The likes of Mr. Whittaker was successful on this card before going on to win at the festival, so there will be clues aplenty. But in its own right, this is a very, very good card. And Doncaster as well have some good action. The River Dawn and the big handicap chase there over 3 miles. It's all good stuff on Saturday, and thankfully we've got spring-like temperatures as well.
We've got Cheltenham and Doncaster coming up. We'll talk about Cheltenham in a short while. I just want to start off by, instead of looking forward, looking back to Thursday and the performance of Presenting Percy and the Galmoy Hurdle. Of course, made a winning return to action. The Gold Cup favourite, who was shortened up for the Cheltenham Gold Cup off the back of that performance. Craig, I have to say that though I was by no means disheartened by the way he ran, I was a little bit taken aback as to just how many people were praising him as if he were the next Corto star in waiting after this one. I thought he ran well, but no more than that for me.
Yeah, if you look at the form lines for the race, John, yes, I would agree with you, but you know, what really pleased me was the way he travelled through the race. You know, I thought he travelled very strongly. He'd been off a long time, and he found just enough for pressure that eased him to the lead, and he held on well. I thought it was the perfect comeback, if I'm being honest. I thought it really was, because he didn't have too hard a race. I don't think he would have been anywhere near 100% wound up for his return, bearing in mind he'll probably go back to Gowran for the race he won last year in February.
The Red Mills.
Yeah, and then on to Cheltenham. So I thought it was the perfect comeback, really. He got the job done. He won a nice prize. And hopefully, you know, he will be able to build on that fitness-wise more than anything and go to Cheltenham A1, because, you know, it's shaping up to be a really good Gold Cup. I mean, I wouldn't want to be jumping in and backing him at his current price. What is he, 3-1 now, John, for the Gold Cup? It's plenty short enough. And, of course, that Dublin Festival, where we've seen clues of plenty there last year in terms of the Gold Cup picture, is next weekend. Yeah. So, you know, there's still some very, very good graded chases to come, which will provide further Gold Cup clues over the next 10 to 20 days or so.
You mentioned the Gold Cup picture and say it could be a Gold Cup. I think I'd agree with you if all the horses ran to their best. But we do have a lot of runners who are potentially turning up on the Friday in March for the big race who have question marks over their ability recently or would appear to be some way past their best.
Yeah, indeed. But, I think Native River's almost a forgotten horse with the hype surrounding Presenting Percy. You know, he produced a fantastic display last year. And bearing in mind, he absolutely hated Kempton and the King George, so I wouldn't be too worried about that run. Kemp Boy, really impressed with the way he stuck his neck out at Leopardstown over Christmas and rode to respect. How he finished third in that race, you know, it was unbelievable. He was almost on the deck on two occasions. And let's not forget, as a seven-year-old, he finished fourth to Native River. So he looks a better horse now. He'll have strengthened up. And I would imagine he'll definitely be running at Leopardstown next weekend. 12-1, if there's any value to be found, I would probably be leaning towards Road to Respect and No Meads Charge.
Speaking of the Cheltenham Festival, we've got Festival Trial Day on Saturday. Lots of quality action to come up. We're going to talk about some of the Grade 2s in a few moments, Craig. But first of all, you've got a bet earlier on in the card in the Novices Handicap Chase at 1:15.
Yeah, of course. This was a race last year won by Mr. Whittaker. We had a short price favourite in the anti-post betting for this. Glenn Forser, who'd been very impressive. He doesn't run. I believe he may not even go for the Close Brothers. There's rumours around that the Arkle could well be the target for Glenn Forser. So, be careful, anyone that is considering looking at the Close Brothers Chase. Really good entries at the 5-day stage for this race, but we've only got 8 declared, which is a little bit of a shame. But this hopefully could be a good chance for Enola Gay here, off a mark of 120 at the foot of the weights. Carries 10 stone for James Bowen. Finished a very good second to Molyneux at Wincanton over 2.5 miles last time. Went up £2 for that, and rightly so. Two good runs prior to that at Sandown and Chepstow behind Swift Crusader, a horse that goes well particularly fresh, and Awake at Midnight in a race at Chepstow that's worked out really well. I think the step up to 2.5 last time certainly brought about some improvement. He does have a habit of finishing second more often than you would like, John. But I think he's got an excellent chance here. And, when you start looking at the opposition, Dentley Demi has been slightly disappointing. He's got one or two bits of form that make him of interest, particularly the Sandown effort, but he's another one that struggles to get the job done. First Drift has done well for a horse that carries his head so high. This is a big step up in class for him, and he needs to prove his stamina. He's done all his running at 2 miles this year. Azerty certainly has to be of interest. The penny is starting to drop with him. Alan King's been quite quiet with him, really, trying to bring the horse on mentally more than anything. He produced a good round of jumping to win at Ascot. He's only gone up £2 for that run. So he's a big player. He's the one I fear the most here. Kildisart, all his form's right-handed, and I think he needs much softer ground. So I'd be worried about him on the track and on the ground. Highway 101, he's been running well, but again, he's got to prove his stamina as he steps up and trip, and Spirit of the Games is conceding weight all round, which will be difficult. So, the shortlist consisted of Azerty here and Enola Gay at the bottom of the weights, and it's Felicia Williams and James Bonehorse that gets the vote.
Enola Gay then for Craig in that 1:15 Novices Handicap Chase. The time for Novices Handicap Chase at Cheltenham on Saturday. We'll quickly just go through three of the Grade 2s that are later on the card, Craig, starting with the Cotswold Chase, which is sort of well known as a trial for the Gold Cup, though what we often end up with is horses who win this race and then sort of slightly just struggle to deal with the added depth of the Gold Cup. I'm thinking of Smart Places, definitely red from last year. Of course, Many Clouds won it twice. The first of those two times went on to finish, I think, 4th or 5th in the Gold Cup. So it has become that sort of a race. But I'm still quite interested to see how a number of these go, especially Frodon, who could be, I think, just about to take the step up from good handicap chaser into graded performer.
Very much so. I haven't really got stuck into any anti-post bet at the festival at all, John, but Frodon in the Ryanair appeals the most. Now, he steps up and trip here for the first time to just over 3 miles, and I think this is an experiment to see whether he stays and whether he is a Gold Cup horse. His form entitles him to be over shorter. It's all about his stamina here, whether he lasts home. Personally, I hope he runs a cracker, but doesn't stay, and they go back in trip for the Ryanair at the festival. But, we've got, in terms of this race compared to previous years, we've got less exposed runners here. In terms of, we've got a few seven-year-olds in the race that, are on an upward curve. You certainly wouldn't rule those out as being grade one performers. Where if you look back through the list of previous winners. They're all 8-9-year-olds that have been more exposed, have already came up short at the top table, and found this as almost like a poor man's gold cup, if you like. So, you know, I think Froden has to prove his stamina. Elegant Escape is coming here 30 days after a grueling contest in the Welsh National. That, you know, is a quick enough turnaround for a staying chaser at this level. I thought, again, 11-4, you know, they take a fair bit out of the book. Then you've got Terrafort, who, you know, was abysmal, really, at Sandown on his comeback run. He's in here at 7-2. Valtor, wide margin winner at Ascot on his first start for Nicky Henderson. Jabin Masters has been beat since. I don't think that was overly strong form. Very impressive on the eye, but, you know, I think he's needing another step up here. I would be prepared to take a chance with Manella Rocco here. Had a wind operation since the horse last ran. You know, he's a very awkward ride. He'll come under pressure. He's not one you can put maximum faith in. But in a race where there are several question marks hanging over several of the contenders, it may just pay here to be with one of the outsiders. And Manella Rocco at 9-1 for the informed John Joe O'Neill would be the only way I could look to play in the race, John.
Manella Rocco potentially in the Cotswold Chase. Then for Craig, the Ballymore Novices Hurdle, which is essentially a trial for the race of the same name at the festival at 3 o'clock, is another Grade 2 contest. Nicky Henderson had a couple entered in this. Champs come out, but he is going to run Birchdale, and there's a few other interesting contenders in the race as well.
Yeah, Birchdale was very impressive on his first start for Nicky Henderson. He beat a couple of horses in a stable companion, Clarendon Street, and John BB, who went on to win on the next start. Philip Hobbs's horse, Samburu Shuja, also has came out that Warwick race and gone in since as well. So, you know, that maiden hurdle has a real solid look to it. But Mr. Mount, the man with the stats, is a big believer in, you know, horses making the jump from maiden hurdle company to graded company have a very, very poor strike record. So, you know, I can see him running well, Birchdale, but it is a big jump up from Warwick to Cheltenham. And, you know, he could be plenty short enough and provide the angle in here. Jarvie's Plate, what a really likeable horse he is. You know, ahead of his debut at Hereford, he was talked up as the best novice in the Fergal O'Brien yard. Ran a cracker behind Newtown Boy, another race that's worked out particularly well. I was all over him next time at Cheltenham. Again, you know, he finished second, another good run, but it was a step up in trip last time on New Year's Day that, you know, he seemed to relish. And you know, he's had three runs. This is his fourth start. I wouldn't rule out the possibility that he goes further up in trip after this in an Alba Bartlett. I was hoping to see him maybe go down that route, but he does have a bit of class.
He's a point-to-point recruit, isn't he? So you'd imagine staying trips in time.
Yeah, indeed. But he does have a bit of class. And you know, for a horse at this distance, he does have a decent turn of foot. I'm with Jarvie's Plate again. You know, wherever he goes, he is a horse that will remain of interest. Battle of Doyen, obviously, is the one, the sexy horse, if you like, in the market at the moment for that race after his win last time. But Jarvie's Plate might just slip under the radar, but I'm sure, you know, if he puts in a big performance on Saturday, then, you know, his odds will shorten for the Ballymore at the festival. So Jarvie's Plate, very much the one to beat for me in the 3 o'clock.
Craig, we are running out of time, but just a few quick thoughts on the Cleeve Hurdle at 3:35. An interesting contest, this one, I think, mostly because we've had horses who have been promising in staying hurdles over the last few years, though most of them, when push comes to shove, especially in races like the Stayers Hurdle, have ended up being disappointing. And they're joined by a couple younger, more improving types.
Yeah, and the biggest improver in this field in recent times is Midnight Shadow. He started back this year at Wetherby. You know, that was a prep really for a tilt at the Greatwood Hurdle. He disappointed in that race, but, you know, when you look back at it now, 2 mile against, you know, speedy decent handicappers was always going to prove too sharp a test. The way he's improved moving up in trip, he dug deep off a big weight to win at Aintree, and last time at Cheltenham he took a huge step forward, travelled really well. I thought he was just hitting top stride at the line, to be honest, so I think the step up and trip will bring more improvement. He's a real likeable horse for Sue Smith. Danny Cook takes the ride. Yard in tremendous form, crack and find a big winner for them at Doncaster on Friday. Midnight Shadow, I'm going to stick with the Northern horse here. I'm hopefully he's going to be good enough, and hopefully he's going to put himself right in the picture for that stairs hurdle.
Well, thanks to Craig Crossley for joining us on the podcast today. But fun hasn't stopped yet, because on Friday we get a William Hill trader to join us on Racing Radio and give us his thoughts on the weekend's action from a trading perspective. Damien Ainsworth was back this week talking to Sam Norris.
What a great day of racing we've got coming up on Saturday. Both Cheltenham and Doncaster promises to be a really good day of racing. And while we've got a little bit of a lull in the action on Friday evening, we can get the view from the William Hill Trading Room ahead of some of the feature races at both Cheltenham and Doncaster. Delighted to be joined in the studio by Damien Ainsworth to take a look at some of the action. You're becoming quite the regular fixture here on Friday nights. Can you not give the gig to anyone else? You've been overworked.
Well, we're fighting for it upstairs, but I'm winning every week.
Good. Good stuff. Massively looking forward to the action coming up tomorrow, Damien. It promises to be a great day. Trials Day, always a good day at Cheltenham. And this Doncaster meeting has thrown up some nice winners as well in the past.
Yes, the Skybet Chase, always a highlight. It's a well-established event. And there's a couple of good supporting races there, a couple of grade twos.
Yeah. Massively so. Of course, one of those races won by Annie Power, no less, in years gone by. We're going to start with a look at Cheltenham, though. Spin you through some of the televised fixtures, and we'll find out, hopefully, where the money's been going. Beginning with the 150, this is going to be a very competitive heat, a handicap chase, grade 3 prize. Betting with us here at William Hill at the moment sees Janica and Sarah Delac as the 4-1 joints here. 6-1 the King's Ritz, Ballyhill 7s, Brillant Das is in the betting at 7-1 also. 9-1 for Active Al, Forrester Eigel is 11-1, 12-1 for Old Grange Wood and War Sound, 20-1 for Sizing Platinum, and Cassetet is 20-1 as well. Difficult, I thought, to rule any of these out, Damien. First things first, where's the cash been for this race?
Yeah, it's interesting you say it's difficult to rule any out, because we've just nibbled away at two of the outsiders.
Right, okay.
Sizing Platinum and Cassetet have been the two which have seen interesting money in the last few minutes. They're both 20s from 25s. Anti-post, we were laying Cyril Delac, who's a very likeable horse, keeps winning by narrow margins, so defying the grader. Mm. That was 6-1, and that's been backed into 4s anti-post, still 4s now. Janica's popular, top yard and very strong form. He's second on his UK debut, looks an outstanding piece of form. And the bottom horse, the King's Ritz, being interesting. That's been nibbled out 13-2 into 6-1. Looks like a horse that's going places. So it's a very keenly contested race.
Yeah, massively. So those horses all toward the head of the betting. And as you say, with a horse like Cyril Delac, that's Connection's dream, to just keep winning handicaps by a little margin. The handicapper can't go too overboard with it. And similarly, punters notice that as well.
Exactly. And 6 years old. So there's still plenty of potential there, and Lizzie Kelly often catches the imagination, so there'll be plenty of supporters for that one tomorrow.
Definitely, that looks a very, very keenly contested, as you say, race coming up at 150. On to the 225 race then, next race that we're going to take a look at Cheltenham on Saturday, and this is the Cotswold Chase, a grade 2 event. Frodon is the 9-4 favourite, taking his form to new levels this year. Elegant Escape, who has obviously been in winning form in recent times, 11-4, 7-2 for Terrafort. Valtor is in the betting then at 11-2. Manella Rocco is 8-1, 40-1 for Alison Monterg. I was reading a little bit earlier on in the day, Damien, that no favourite has won this race in the last 10 runnings. Frodon holds that mantle at the moment. Likely to go off the favourite?
That's a tough question. At the moment, yes, again, talking about Lizzie Kelly before, Brownie Frost, big following, so should be plenty of support for that tomorrow. But I have a feeling if he does go off favourite, it could be 11 unsuccessful favourites in a row.
Okay.
With some strong top handicap form in this race from Frodon, Elegant Escape, Valtor, have all won big handicaps in the past few weeks. But it's whether they can convert that form into your conditions events. Frodon's had problems before converting handicap form into grade 1, grade 2 events. So has something to prove there. I like Terrafort, the one horse in the race with recent grade 1 form. had Elegant Escape well behind when winning an entry in springtime. And as over a muscle problem he had first time out, I think that's a really interesting one, the one that could be a genuine contender for top prizes. We've always seen Money, Antipost, interestingly, for Minella Rocker,
okay.
who years gone by was a top class horse, finished second in the Gold Cup. 14s into eights, as short as eights now. So receiving weight, there are plenty of people thinking that one might come back to form.
Okay, that's certainly interesting, the cash then for Minella Rocker, who, as you mentioned, top class on his day. Haven't seen it for quite a while, Minella Rocker, having its first start in 356 days on Saturday. That's 8-1, but currently Frodon at 9-4. You mentioned there Bryony Frost. I imagine she's particularly popular on a Saturday on TV.
Yeah, she keeps putting those winners in on a Saturday. So, yeah, she's a real favourite of the punters.
Yes, and I imagine she's not exactly been the toast of the traders recently either, given that she's been on some fancied runners.
Yeah, not in recent times. We'll see.
On to the 3 o'clock race then at Cheltenham next. This is the Ballymore Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2 event. Not the Ballymore Novices Hurdle, obviously, but certainly another race that bears that name. Birchdale is the favourite here at 15-8. Brewing Up a Storm is 9-4. Jarvis Plate 5-2. 11-1 for Buster Valentine. Not That Fuisse is 16-1. It's 40-1 for the Wolf. Obviously, there were lots of people expecting and hoping that Champ was going to potentially run in this race from the Nicky Henderson yard. It's Birchdale that he relies upon in the end. What's the cash been saying for this one?
Yes, there's quite a few races in recent weeks has been a similar makeup to this, where there's a hot favourite in the Antipost market has declined to take part, and Champ was the one in this. So people suspecting that, reading between the lines, were backing the other three short ones in the race. We've had plenty of money all week for Jarvis Plate. I think it was into 5-2 from bigger prices earlier in the week, about 4-9-2. Brewing Up a Storm was 9-2 earlier in the week. That's now 9-4. Birchdale's been very popular. So we've laid all three of those. Of the three, I personally prefer Brewing Up a Storm. I think Ollie Murphy's got some great novice hurdlers this year. He's got some outstanding form. The win in the novice hurdle a couple of starts ago is possibly the race has worked out better than any other this season. I think that every horse in the race has come out and won since. The fourth to Champ last time was a great run, so that's the one for me. At a price, Buster Valentine's interesting because you wouldn't get Ruth Jefferson sending many down to Cheltenham. She's an ultra shrewd trainer, and if she thinks the horse is good enough, I think you can expect a big run from that one tomorrow.
Okay, interesting stuff on that race. We'll wrap up with the Cleve Hurdle then at Cheltenham. This race drew off at 3:35. It looks a good renewal this year. Black Up is 4-1, 9-2 Paisley Park, Midnight Shadow 5-1, or Petit Soir is in the betting at 13-2. You know what I mean? Harry 10-1, Holstone 10-1, Sam Spinner is 12-1, West Approach 14s, Agrapar last year's winner 18-1, Lil Rockefeller is 18-1. Loads in this race that I imagine are going to be popular horses, or certainly have been popular horses. What about this race?
It's a fantastic race. Mm. I think nearly all of the British contenders for the World Hurdle, Stayers Hurdle, are in there. And you're going to get value, whatever you fancy in this race. It's 4-1 the field at the moment. Might get even bigger that, because you can fancy anything, almost
yes.
anything in the race. We've been laying Black Op Antipost and Paisley Park Antipost. Midnight Shadow has been a big fancy for the Stayers Hurdle in the last few weeks. The question about that one is, will he stay? We'll find out tomorrow. Paisley Park, question for me is whether the long walk form is solid. You had outsiders filling the places there. A few of the fancied horses running badly. The interesting one for me is Au Petit Soir. Had the potential to be top class a few years ago. Won at the festival. His course and distance form is great. Won over the course and distance last time out. Still only 8 runs over hurdles. That's the unexposed one who could just land this tomorrow for me.
Okay, that's Cheltenham wrapped up. Then we've also got three televised contests, or televised on ITV anyway, at Doncaster. We'll have a quick spin through some of those, starting with the 205, the River Don Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2 upcoming. Extending 3 miles the trip, Commodore Barry 11-8, 7-4 Truckers Lodge, Balearico is 9-2, and Naditac is 10-1. Someone out in the office last week, Damien, made a case for this being the worst Grade 2 run all year. It hasn't always sort of lived up to its loftier billing, and just 4 of them in the race this year.
Yes, it's very disappointing. A lot of the fields at Doncaster this season have been small. I suppose you can blame the going, but it should be good ground tomorrow. There shouldn't be any excuses there. It is a disappointing turnout, but 4 runners. One's going to win, and you've got 11-8 the field, so whatever you like, there's value. There was value Antipost, Balearico, 8-1 earlier in the week. Commodore Barry 4s earlier in the week. So if you knew your horse was going to run, you've got value there. I like Commodore Barry, the favourite, course and distance winner, track and going fine. There's doubts about Trucker's Lodge on the decent ground. All his improved form for Nichols has been on the soft ground. So I'd just go with a favourite there.
Okay, fair enough. On to the 2:40 race then. This is the Yorkshire Rose Mares Hurdle. This is another Grade 2. Lady Buttons, even money, 130 for Irish Row. Chica Buena, 5-1, 6-1, and bigger prices for the remainders. Lady Buttons is a horse that has obviously been the apple of Phil Kirby's eye. Trainer's been in great form. She's probably the stable star. Keeps winning. Likely to be popular again tomorrow?
I think she's almost become the most popular horse in the north, I would say.
Yeah.
And people have fallen in love with her. So, short price, but the even money might even be snapped up. That's his odds on in a lot of places.
Okay.
Was 2-1 earlier in the week, and it just shows that forced down to such a short price, despite the fact that on the book, she's a better chaser than hurdler. She'll have problems conceding weight. I think Irish Rose are a fantastic value at... We're 130. I think there's 7-2, plenty of 7-2 about. Course and distance record 1-1-2-2. She's got a tremendous chance with Lady Buttons on Weatherby form from earlier in the season. You can forget the last run, the race was totally unsuited to her style. I think Irish Rose, tremendous value in this race tomorrow.
Okay. Good stuff. And on to one of the big betting races of the day then. It's Doncaster, the Sky Bet handicap chaser, listed prize 11-4 for Dingo Dollar at the moment. Where's the money been for this one? I imagine this has been a lively betting heat.
We've had this priced up for a long time now, and I've been cursing Dingo Dollar since I put him out at 9-1. I put him out absolute top price at 9s when the prices first went out, and we were filled in. I think we were about 5-6-1 within 24 hours.
Right.
So it's a terrible results anti-post, and I'm thinking at 3:25 tomorrow I might be leaving the building and not coming back. I was hopeful earlier on in the week when Alan King said he might run at Cheltenham instead, but no, he's in there. Alan King's had 2 winners today, so he's banging form. There's not many negatives. The slight negative against him is the ground. It might not be soft enough. And also there's plenty of opposition. There's plenty of in-form horses coming with good chances. So I'll cling to that. I think Federici's been very popular anti-post. 33's into 11-1. And my colleague upstairs, the other Damien, he can't stop talking about this horse. Federici was only just beaten in the race last season. He's much better off with Warrior's Tail. So 11's might even be a single-figure price tomorrow. Apart from that, Willy Boy's a very progressive horse, double-figure price, that's value. 007, course and distance winner last time. That's got a chance, but yeah, I'm just hoping something will go in against Dingo Dollar.
Excellent stuff. There we are, the thoughts of William Hill trader Damien Ainsworth, ahead of the action at Doncaster and Cheltenham coming up tomorrow. Massively looking forward to that. Thank you for joining us, Damien. Enjoy
okay,
it. And,
you're welcome.
Fingers crossed Dingo Dollar can get beat for you.
Speak to you later.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.